Rutherford approaches the pedestal. He raises his fingers and runes appear before him. He begins to twist them and he mutters magical words. Sagua Sanfa, Sagua Sanfa, Sagua Sanfa. A bubble of magical energy appears before him and then he pushes up against it slowly, carefully, as though trying not to pop it. He pushes forward, pushes the field away from himself as he moves closer and closer, inch by inch, towards the pedestal.
Rutherford? Two things I want to say. First of all, this is not magic. This is some form of geomagnetism, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, agua sanfa, agua sanfa.
Second thing, why are you going to summon a winged lobster?
Well, to prove I can, mostly. Agua sanfa, agua sanfa. It's mostly just a theory.
If God had intended lobsters to fly, he would have given them magical flight powers. And since magic doesn't exist, we can assume that God does not mean lobsters to fly.
As you say, agua sanfa, agua sanfa.
Larry, I want to see a flying lobster. Is it going to bite us? What do flying lobsters eat?
Sagua Sanfa, I assume the same things as normal lobsters, Sagua Sanfa.
What do lobsters eat?
Coral reefs.
Lobsters don't eat coral reefs.
Don't they live in them?
They live in the harbor, or the bay, or whatever.
Is there not coral in the bay?
No, coral's only in warm climates.
It's pretty warm in the summer.
Do they eat seaweed? Are they herbivores?
The term is vegetarian.
Not when an animal does it.
They're probably obligate pescatarians.
Elvis, they don't know what pescatarianism is. They've never been to church.
Oh. But what is it when they only eat fish and plants?
It's called a seafood diet.
Oh, my dad's on that. When he sees food, he eats it.
Rutherford is at this point at the pedestal, working away, tweaking this and that, moving runes in the air. The thing is lighting up, then dimming down, and doing this and that. You have no way to make heads or tails of it. Until, finally, it lights up brilliantly, and then in a flash, standing before you is what appears to be the Archangel of Lobsters. It is hovering in place, its wings flapping. The thing is massive. Rutherford backs away slowly. Oh, he says.
Oh? That's not a good reaction. This is what you want, right?
The beast reels itself back, then thunders directly towards you. Everybody, what do you do?
Dive away.
Ready, shield?
What's it doing?
Rutherford throws up some kind of magical shield, which the beast crashes right through. Paul, you leap out of the way. Elvis, you try to stand your ground on the thing, and Lowry, you just kind of stand around and get pummeled by it. The magic field Rutherford threw up takes a lot of the damage. Lowry and Elvis, you guys are each going to take 10.
Oh my god, my leg breaks.
I get knocked over and winded.
Rutherford is also thrown aside. Paul, you're the only one who still has an action. We're at the start of 12 if you want to battle the thing. It looks like it's not going to stop.
Which way is it going?
Back the way you came.
Okay, well, I guess we're going to have to deal with it one way or the other, so let it go.
The mighty lobster Seraph flies away. Rutherford sits up, groaning. Oh, I think I broke something. Hold on. Sagua sanfa, sagua sanfa, sagua sanfa. His hands glow, and he begins to rub himself down, checking all the spots that really hurt. Eventually, he seems satisfied, and he gets up. He goes, okay, all right. Who else needs help?
My leg. Is facing the wrong direction.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty broke. It's not supposed to bend that
way. Well, you had the reverse joint thing before. The animals do. Now it's going the right
way. It's the wrong way, Elvis. It's not supposed to bend like that.
Maybe it's always been around the wrong way.
It's all your fault. You wanted to come down here and do this. You wanted to see a giant lobster. Now look at my leg.
All right, calm down. Calm down. It's not that big of a deal. It's not poking out through the skin or anything. Actually, it is a little bit. We'll just put it back into place.
Oh, get off of me, you freaking...
All right, here we go. Sagua sanfa, sagua sanfa, sagua sanfa, sagua sanfa. After a little bit of attention, Lowry, your leg is healed.
Oh, thank the gods. It still hurts.
But do you still disbelieve in magic?
Just because I don't understand modern medicine doesn't mean it's magic.
Well, I suppose it's true what they say. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't force it to clap or believe in Tinkerbell.
We gotta go after that thing. It's dangerous.
No.
I would just assume not.
But it's dangerous.
All the reason I need not to go after
it. I don't understand what we accomplished here.
Proof that we can manipulate the pillars. And proof that someone must have done something to create that fog skeleton. That took human intervention, or man intervention.
But that was so profoundly irresponsible. That thing nearly killed, all of us.
Well, yes, that's the thing with unsanctioned research, is that the only way to conduct it is irresponsibly.
You can't just condescend this away. You should have warned us that the god of flying lobsters was gonna kill us.
I would have if I'd anticipated that would have been the result. I was expecting a lobster with no legs that couldn't fly. I was rather hoping it would be crushed to death by its own exoskeleton's weight, and then we could feed it to the other lobsters.
Okay, but what now? Now it's on the loose, it exists, and it is our fault.
Allegedly. Who's going to tie it to us? I'm not going to speak. Are any of you?
We have to go and battle it. That thing is going to kill another Matimos. And I'm not going to have that on my hands. I can't even remember his name.
It was Tabitha.
I don't think that was his name, Lowry.
It was a traumatic experience. I think I'd remember.
Did you see how fast it was? We couldn't catch it if we wanted to.
Precisely. It's out of our hands now, and they'll chalk it up probably to the same thing that happened with the fog skeleton. It doesn't have to fall on us. The guild will do something.
After another tragic death.
Can we not do anything? I mean, I don't want to, but Elvis is right. If we don't do anything, then someone else is going to die.
Well, I tell you what. If we can keep it busy for long enough and it doesn't completely bowl us over, I might be able to flambé the thing.
Like with fire?
Well, I don't mean with poetry. Yes, with fire.
Where are we going to get the fire?
Sagwas on fire! A gout of flame spurts out of his hand.
Oh, right, the magic.
Yes, the magic!
No. I know where this is going. You're going to ask us to distract the thing while you shoot gouts of flame at it.
No, I'm asking you to leave the dungeon and just let the problem lie.
Oh, then, yeah, I actually agree with you.
Lowry, no!
Elvis is right, we can't.
But we can.
Well, I mean, we might not be able to. The lobster went towards the exit, so if we want to go out the way we came...
Let's just go out a different way. I'm sure there's other doorways, right?
Yes, there are. But we're going to have to fight our way out. I mean, granted, it'll be smaller and more piecemeal, but there are other doors.
But that's your plan, right? Just fight little lobsters and not big ones.
Yes, that's the alternative.
What if it comes back while we're navigating around that? How do we know the little lobsters aren't going to be on the same team as the big lobster?
We are juggling a lot of unknowns here, yes. The way we came is the way the lobster went. It might be safer to just fight our way to another direction. But if the fighting draws the attention of the big lobster and we're caught on two fronts, that could be even worse.
Great.
Yes, great.
So what do we do?
Well, I don't doubt that we could defeat the things that come out of the pedestals normally. They're giant lobsters, and they're tough, but they're slow. And then the winged snakes are aggressive enough, but they're fairly fragile. If we gamble on the assumption that the lobster seraph will not be drawn by the fighting, it should be safer to find a new path.
If we do that, that creates more unknowns.
I'm not sure I agree
with that. It does. It does, because there'll be things we don't know. Like, for example, where's the lobster seraph? If we go and we fight the lobster seraph, that's the only thing we're sure about.
We know nothing about the lobster seraph.
We know it is big, and it will kill us.
Probably will kill us. We don't know that for sure.
You also don't know what kind of fighters we actually are. I know I have a lot to learn, and I've seen Paul fight a kid. And I think he won.
I chose not to fight.
Oh, right.
I don't want to fight lobsters. I don't want to fight
And Lowry
anything.
Doesn't even want to fight. His morale is already zero.
So, what I'm hearing is that the team isn't able to fight a giant lobster because of low morale?
I mean,
I
could fight. I just don't want to fight a kid.
Paul, the lobster seraph is a baby. It was just born today.
Elvis, what are you even arguing anymore?
We gotta kill the baby!
I hate all of these plans. I hate every plan that anyone has said so far.
Wait a minute, are you not supporting any plan?
No, they're all terrible. I'm against all of them.
Oh, well, I thought we were at an impasse. I thought it was 2-on-2.
I'm also not voting, for the record. I'm just throwing out ideas.
Well, you are confusing us, Rutherford. Stop trying to help.
I offered to flambé the lobster.
But we don't have any eggs!
I don't know what you think flambé means!
Well, if you're not voting and Lowry hates everything, then it's 2-on-0.
No, I cast a vote against you.
But Rutherford's not voting, it's 2-to-1!
But this is not a democracy. I'm gonna lay down on the floor.
Lowry, get up!
No, I vote for an action. If we did what I wanted from the very start, we'd all be living in a cave, eating whatever we could catch out of that cave, and drinking water that came up from the spring in that cave. We wouldn't be down here in a dungeon trying to figure out what to do about a seraphic lobster.
But Lowry, you gotta get up. There is a seraphic lobster now, and it's up to us to stop it.
Maybe we can find rats to eat down here, and there might be a naturally occurring spring. This will be our new cave. We will never move forward again. The adventure has stopped.
I'm not ready for that, Lowry. I'm not ready for the adventure to stop.
The adventure will stop if that lobster pops your head off.
Well, better me than someone else, okay?
Why? Why you?
Because I was... part of the group that let the lobster out, it's kind of my fault.
Yeah, it's our fault, Lowry. We have to.
I define fault.
As in, we did it, now we have to clean up after it.
Can we lay here for like 30 minutes while I think of a way to deconstruct
No,
fault?
Get up.
Fine. You know what, fine. But only because getting up and cooperating with you is a form of non-action. I am choosing not to cast any vote or have any opinion.
Good. Then come on, and everybody quiet down. Maybe if we can sneak up on it, we can fricassee the thing before it sees us.
Paul, we need butter and a stew to do a fricassee.
Okay, you got that one right, but what do you think a flambé is?
It's when you cook with eggs.
No, it's cooking with alcohol. You douse a thing in alcohol and you light it aflame.
Well, how were you gonna flambé the lobster then? Do you have alcohol?
Elvis, he means barbecue.
Oh. What kind of flavor does magical flame add to the meat?
You know, honestly, I've never tested it.
Well, can we taste the meat after you barbecue it?
We don't have any rub or molasses or anything.
I mostly just want to see what the smoke flavor tastes like.
Well, it's probably flavorless.
Yeah, that would check out.
Well, I mean, I don't see why not. Okay, so the plan is we're going to sneak up on the giant winged lobster, and then I am going to barbecue the lobster. Not fricassee, not flambé, due to lack of ingredients.
Yeah, that sums it up.
Good. Then let's proceed as quietly as we can from here on out. And so, the group proceeds up the stairs, carefully, making sure to check around every corner, listening for strange noises. Then eventually, rather than hearing the giant lobster, you hear voices echoing down the hallway. It's hard to make out what they're saying because they're so far away still, but they're definitely down there ahead of you.
Okay, stop.
Can the seraphic lobster speak English?
For all I know, it could, yes.
Then why are we plotting to kill it? We should have been having a conversation with it.
Elvis, if it has the intelligence to speak, it has the intelligence to lie to you. You shouldn't trust lobsters just because they talk.
All at once, the voices cut off.
Shh, they might hurt us.
From down the hallway, you hear, "Hello! I can hear you from a mile away, Gildies." You can hear footsteps coming towards you, clearly armored. There's not any intent to hide that they're coming.
Oh, darn it. We couldn't sneak up on anything. What do we do?
I am just throwing this out there, but barbecue is an option.
Rutherford!
I'm not saying we should, just that something like that should be cleared long before it happens.
Well, then the answer is no!
Good. No barbecue. We'll talk our way out. Down the hall, you hear, "Are you trying to hide, Gildies? I already know where you are. That's all right, I'll come to you." The pace picks up, and then jogging around the corner comes a guy in steel greaves, a steel cap, plain jerkin. He's got a spiked club resting across his shoulders and his arms draped over that. He looks happy, but not from the eyes, just from the mouth. The smile is wide and unmistakably jovial, but it looks completely fake. When he sees you, he slows back down to a leisurely pace, kicking his legs out casually as though he were walking through the park. "Hey, Gildies! There you guys are." Two more men appear around the corner. The first one is a shirtless guy wearing leather pants and a bearskin. He's not very tall, but he looks strong enough to lift the entire earth on his back. The second guy looks like a wizard, or rather, the king of wizards. He's got all the stuff draped over him, and then tons of jewelry besides. Pointy hat, magic scepter, tons of rings and necklaces. His beard is perfectly coiffed, and his mustache is twirled to a point. "So let's see, we're on level 3, and that means that you guys must have paperwork to be down here, am I right?" "I'm just kidding, of course you've got it, or else you wouldn't be down here, you know. Level 3, huh? Well, I don't know everyone cleared to be level 3, but I don't recognize you guys. You must be new." Then he circles around Rutherford. "Oh, but you I do recognize. Curator, right? Reginald or something?" Rutherford says.
"Well, we're definitely meant to be down here, yes.
And we don't have our paperwork on us anyway because it's stupid."
"I mean, hey, I don't actually expect everybody to carry their papers on them, you know? I mean, you know the guy who said it was okay for you to be down here, so if you know the guy, I could ask him." "Right, like I'd say, who okayed this, and then you'd give me a name, and I'd go and I'd talk to that guy." "I won't bother, though. That'd be a huge waste of time for me."
"Who are you? Because
who
let me tell you.
Who am I? Who am I, really? You guys must have been promoted quick. Boy, you must have had a lot of potential."
"Oh, yeah. My dad always said I had a lot of potential."
"Parents do say stuff like that. Who's your dad, kid?"
"Timothy Adventureman."
"Okay."
"Adventureman, huh?" He rolls his eyes. "Okay, I think I get it. You know what? Actually, I've met your dad."
"Oh, you have?"
"Yeah. Hey, Rutherford, you guys do all kinds of fun experiments. If I look into this whole venture you're doing right now, there's going to be paperwork telling me that you're looking at what?" And Rutherford goes, "Well, nothing, just some minor things. I had a theory about the colors and their implication for the wavelength of the magical field." The guy with the club looks over at the wizard, and he goes, "The magical field, Wayne, you get this?" The wizard, Wayne, smiles and nods politely, and he says, "Oh, yes, I too often wonder if the purple tastes like grapes." "Oh, yeah, if the purple tastes like grapes." "It could, though, right? With magic, you could just make things do things that they don't normally do. Like, I bet you could go down deeper in, where the lobsters and the snakes are, and you could mash them together somehow and then make like a giant flying lobster. That would be neat." "Well, it's getting late. I think we ought to keep going. We've got a lot of stuff we have to do deeper in, so we're going to leave you to it. Hey, Rutherford, let me know if you find out if the red ones taste like schnozberries, all right? Hey, good luck, guys. Don't get caught with the wrong crowd. I wouldn't." And that entourage walks past you guys and goes deeper down.
"Who the heck was that?"
"Oh, him? That was Chip Dougal, head armsman of the Adventuring Guild.
Is he important?
Well, he's in charge of, like, the militant wing of the Adventuring Guild, kind of.
What does that mean?
Well, it's an organization. It's organized into people. The head of the guild is Jensen Marcia. The lead marketer is Mark Johnson. The head treasurer is Sprinkles. Let's not go into Sprinkles. The head wizard is Rahab of Klein. He focuses more on magical issues. And then the head armsman is Chip Dougal, who's in charge of pretty much everyone armed who goes into the dungeon. Technically, he and Rahab hold sort of a joint leadership position, but Chip takes a minute interest.
So that was the leader of the guild?
No, I just told you, the leader is Jensen Marcia. That's Chip Dougal. He's, say, second in command.
So like the vice chairman of the guild?
Co-chairman. But yes.
Oh my god.
Now, don't despair. Don't despair. You're working for the curators, okay? So, although he does have a lot of say over what goes on, we could do some rather expensive outside hiring if we had to.
But this is bad, right?
Well, an outside contract would delay things a lot. I mean, we'd have to prove that we couldn't get help from the guild, and I might be blacklisted if something...
Blacklisted?
Hiring off the books will get you blacklisted, but I have people who could hire in my stead.
Oh, no, this is all the opposite of what I wanted!
Well, clearly we have some stuff to talk about, but maybe it's not as bad as it looks. Let's keep going. You do, and then around the next bend, where Chip and his gang came from, you find what remains of the Seraphic Lobster. It has been completely torn apart. Well, Rutherford says, it seems your fear that this would run into another guild member were indeed founded. And now we're going to have to reconsider our strategy.